Good morning, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th Anniversary Edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are heading to the hub of the universe today, Boston, Massachusetts. But not the Boston of Tea Parties and Paul Revere. We are looking at the asterisk real Boston, the 7th District. This is the only district in New England where the majority of residents are people of color. It includes Cambridge, Roxbury, Dorchester, and Chelsea. And it is represented by one of the most recognizable faces in modern politics, Democrat Ayanna Pressley.
Ayanna Pressley is a powerhouse. Most people know her as a member of the Squad, that group of four progressive women elected in 2018 alongside AOC, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib. But Pressley's path was very different from the others. She wasn't an outsider throwing stones at the system. She was an insider who decided to break the system from within. She had been a Boston City Councilor for nearly a decade. She worked for John Kerry. She knew how the machine worked.
And that is what made her 2018 election so shocking. She challenged Mike Capuano. Now, for listeners outside of Boston, Capuano was not a bad Democrat. He was a reliable, liberal vote. He was popular. He brought home money for transit. Usually, you only primary a Democrat if they are voting with Republicans. Pressley didn't do that. She ran a campaign based on a very uncomfortable truth, that a majority-minority district deserved representation that actually looked like the district.
Her slogan was "Change can't wait." And she had this line that became her philosophy: the people closest to the pain should be closest to the power. She argued that you can't truly legislate on issues like police brutality or the maternal mortality crisis if you haven't lived them. She wasn't running against Capuano personally. She was running for the black and brown residents of Roxbury, who felt like the economic boom in Boston had left them behind. And she won by 17 points. It was a landslide that proved demographics are destiny in the Democratic Party.
Speaking of pain, we have to talk about her alopecia journey. This is one of the bravest things I've seen a politician do.
It brings tears to my eyes just thinking about that video. For years, Pressley was known for her hair. She wore these beautiful Senegalese twists. It was part of her brand. Little girls would dress up like her. And then, privately, she started losing her hair due to alopecia areata. It's an autoimmune disease. She was waking up with clumps of hair on her pillow. She felt like she was losing a limb. She hid it with wigs for a while because she didn't want to disappoint those little girls.
But in 2020, she decided she was done hiding. She released a video with Tithe the Root where she revealed her bald head for the first time. She looked directly into the camera and said, "I am making peace with my alopecia." It was electric. She turned a source of shame into a source of power. And true to form, she legislated on it. She introduced a bill to get Medicare to pay for medical wigs, arguing that for people with alopecia or cancer, a wig isn't cosmetic, it's mental health care.
"Policy is my love language," that is her catchphrase, and you see it in her work on the baby bonds bill. This is her big economic idea. Stephen, break down the math on this because it's fascinating.
So, baby bonds, which she pushes with Senator Cory Booker, is an attempt to close the racial wealth gap. The idea is that every child born in America gets a savings account seeded by the federal government, $1,000 at birth. And then, every year, kids from lower-income families get extra deposits. By the time that kid turns 18, they could have $40,000 or $50,000 in the account. But, and this is key, they can only use it for wealth-building activities, buying a house, starting a business, or paying for college.
It's basically giving every kid a trust fund, but specifically targeting the kids whose parents don't have money to pass down. Pressley argues that the reason white families have more wealth is intergenerational transfer, inheritance. Black families were locked out of that by redlining and slavery. Baby bonds is a way to artificially create that inheritance for everyone. She views it as essential for breaking the cycle of poverty.
She's also the reason student debt cancellation is even a conversation. Before Pressley, that was a fringe idea. She made it a racial justice issue.
She did. She hammered the Biden White House for years on this. She showed the data. Black women hold the most student debt of any demographic. She argued that you can't have an economic recovery if an entire generation is drowning in interest payments. She didn't get everything she wanted. The Supreme Court blocked the big plan. But she moved the needle massively. She never lets the administration get comfortable.
Let's talk about her district, MA07, because the statistics there are shocking.
It is the most unequal district in Massachusetts. Presley talks about the number one bus. If you ride that bus from Cambridge, where you have Harvard, MIT, biotech billionaires, to Roxbury, which is a historically black neighborhood just 3 miles away, the life expectancy drops by 30 years. 30 years. That is a third of a life lost just by crossing a zip code. Presley uses that stat to explain why she is so aggressive. When people tell her to be patient, she says, "My constituents are dying 30 years sooner. We don't have time for patience."
She also carries her own trauma into the work. She is a survivor of sexual abuse. She speaks openly about her father's struggle with addiction and incarceration.
She does, and that is rare in D.C. Usually, politicians hide the messy parts of their lives. Presley puts it on the table. She says, "I am a survivor." And that gives her the moral authority to talk about criminal justice reform. She isn't reading a white paper about prisons. She remembers visiting her dad in one. It grounds her politics in a way that is very hard to debate against.
From the Boston City Council to the national stage, she has changed the definition of what a congresswoman looks like and sounds like.
She proved that being vulnerable is actually the strongest thing you can do.
That is our profile for Massachusetts, 7th. Stay tuned for our next profile. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.